Listener call-in show on vital issues. Tonight's subject, the Chicago confrontation. Tonight's guest, former presidential assistant Harris Wofford, leader of today's protest vigil on the site of last night's confrontation with the Chicago police. You speak for yourself and ask your questions directly by calling Collect Night Call's national phone number, area code 212-749-3311, or in the New York area, 866-5010. Night Call's host in New York City, substituting for vacationing Del Shields, is Russ Gibb.
Good evening. Mayor Daley says his use of police and National Guard in the past few days strictly adhered to the recommendations of the Riot Commission report. That is, the use of manpower, not firepower. That he was only maintaining law and order and justice, and only using just enough law officers to do so, and that some of his police may have overreacted, but if so, it was only a very, very few. And that his overriding justification, if one was really needed, was that he had FBI intelligence reports that all three major presidential candidates were to be assassinated. Third-party candidate George Wallace wired his congratulations to the Chicago Police Department and told a news conference that what happened in Chicago last night would mean more votes for him. Vice President Humphrey said he didn't feel very well about what had happened. Senator George McGovern said it had made him sick. Senator Eugene McCarthy said the enormity of it made any comment unnecessary. John Kelleher, general counsel of the Chicago and Illinois chapters of the Fraternal Lodges of Police, said he was sure 98% of the people in this country were in favor of the action that the department took. Former presidential assistant Harris Wofford led a protest vigil today on the site of last night's violence to prevent a repetition. Mr. Wofford is our guest tonight. Our special call-in guest, joining us only for the first segment, will be Mr. John Kelleher, head of the Fraternal Lodge of the Chicago Police, legal counsel of the Fraternal Lodge of the Chicago Police. He and Mr. Wofford will have a brief discussion, and then you may ask your questions direct here at Night Call. Now, you'll be able to talk to him on our national number, area code 212-749-3311, and you may call us, Collect. In the New York area, call us at 866-5010. Good evening, Mr. Kelleher. You've been on leave for the past several years, I should say, not on leave, but actively involved for the last several years with the Chicago Fraternal Order of Police.
That's right.
What was your version of what happened last night, sir?
Well, it's a rather involved story, but basically the question was whether or not the streets of Chicago, Michigan Avenue in particular, would be kept clear of unruly conduct by demonstrators.
Now, when you say unruly, what actions would you consider unruly, or would police consider unruly?
Well, that would all depend on the situation, but basically, if they crossed barricades set up by the police to control the area around the convention hotels, if they surged out onto Michigan Avenue and blocked the vehicular traffic, things like that would be considered unruly and would be met with some kind of a police reaction.
Did you witness the actual demonstrations?
No, I didn't. I saw most of the clips, and I've talked to many of the people that were there, during policemen and civilians who were there during the day.
Clips being the television clips?
Television clips, yes.
What reactions did you get from Chicago policemen that you spoke with?
Well, the police are very tired. They have been on duty in many instances 15 to 17 hours a day now since last Friday. They're disgusted, weary. They have been provoked. They've had missiles thrown at them. Five of them are possibly blinded now because of spray material that has been sprayed at them.
Now, you mean permanently blinded?
Well, we don't know. It's too early to say.
I
83
see.
Have been injured since Saturday, policemen of all ranks, up to Deputy Superintendent Rochford, who was injured.
Now, is that just because of the convention, or would this be normal?
No, these are vis-a-vis the demonstrators.
I see.
This does not take into account ordinary police work. The police, depending on their general personal attitude toward these things, have various reactions. Some of them are amused by the hippies or the yippies. Others have some animosity toward them. It depends on what viewpoint the individual policeman takes to the scene.
You mean that the individual policeman has a lot of discretion when it comes to dealing with the yippies or hippies or the demonstrators?
No, I meant that was his attitude.
Oh, his attitude toward them.
He has orders as to how to act as a policeman.
Well, now, we all saw the clips. I think one of the feelings that I had was that either television was lying or my eyes were lying, but I had the feeling that the police were overreacting, at least on the clips that I saw on television.
Well, the clips showed scenes of violence, and scenes of violence are basically foreign to American viewers. You don't see too many scenes of violence except in your westerns and in your movies. But the actual scenes of violence were tough on everybody involved. Police sometimes were involved in these things for the first times in their life, as were demonstrators, and how people will react at the time that violence occurs is hard to say. We will concede that some police, obviously from what we saw, overreacted. But on the other hand, I think you have to look at the whole scene of trying to conduct a convention in a major city in a year that has seen political assassination, widespread nationwide civil disorder, burning and looting, sniping at police, assassination threats made to guests of the city coming to the convention, to protect the delegates, to protect the guests, and to protect the city as a whole. In that kind of a background is a very, very difficult problem for police. One that would be a problem for the police of any city in the United States. And when you add to that the declared and avowed statements made by such people as Tom Hayden, who was in the Columbia riots in your town, Dave Dellinger, who was one of the leaders of the Pentagon March, Jerry Rubin, head of the Youth International Party, these people are not in any way restrained in their comments about what they intended to do in Chicago. They said, in effect, they were going to disrupt Chicago. They drilled in Lincoln Park in wedge formation, showing how they would break police lines. They have their own medical corps, girls, for the most part, and some men who have been wear first aid uniforms. They call the police pigs, generally. They have said things and thrown things at the police, which are practically unmentionable on radio. They came here with the purpose, and they succeeded. And it's unfortunate for all concerned and for America in general.
Well, now, you say they succeeded, but did they really?
Well, if their purpose was to publicize their position, if their purpose was to bait the police to disrupt the city, they had some success.
That the police actually did fall for the bait, then?
I think at times this could be true.
Well, now, isn't this saying something about our policemen?
Yes. I think it is. I think it's saying what does society expect from overworked, underpaid, men who are asked to stand in the middle, who are asked to settle problems that our nation has not faced up to for over 100 years in terms of civil peace, and hasn't even begun to become sophisticated about in terms of international peace. Our policemen, often unschooled in these matters, often untrained, often picked without any regard for their sensitivity to social problems, how are they to solve these problems when the community leaders either have swept them under the rugs or haven't even faced them?
Let me ask you, John, how would you have handled the situation? You're obviously an educated man, you're a lawyer, you deal with policemen, you understand the police mentality, I'm sure. How would you have done this?
I have no answer for that, Mr. Gibbs. I am beginning to think, in the climate that we live, that we should conduct our political conventions, if these things we call conventions are going to be conducted anymore. I wonder sometimes. Maybe on an aircraft carrier like the Enterprise, maybe 100 miles out at sea. I'm beginning to wonder if in a violent society such as ours, we can have orderly conventions any longer.
Would you say that's an indictment, then, of our system, our society?
There's obviously something wrong, something rotten, something sick in our society that has produced the times we are in.
Do you think that the average citizen, after witnessing the confrontation out in the front of the hotel, that he's going to think differently of the police than he did before?
Well, again, I think that depends, Mr. Gibbs, on what their viewpoint was at the beginning. I think very often they have elected what side they're on to begin with, and what they see only fortifies their pre-conviction. We have witnessed a phenomena here at the Fraternal Order of Police headquarters in Chicago. Starting about 8 o'clock this morning, our switchboards were flooded with calls. Partly, I think, due to the fact that a couple of the radio shows, the talk shows in town, were urging that the police be supported for the actions that they've taken to keep our streets safe from mob violence. By about 11 o'clock, we must have handled up to 1,000 calls, and we couldn't handle them any longer at that point. We couldn't even take names any longer. We just could have our people answer and say thank you and on to the next call. There is a reaction around Chicago in support of both Mayor Daley's stand in the convention as such, which we don't want to get into as police, that's political, but supporting the position of the police. We are really surprised and in a sense very gratified. However, we don't for 1 minute pretend that that's the reaction of the whole viewing audience of television.
Of course, there's a certain sadness involved here because really, most of us are for law and order as long as it doesn't interfere with our personal freedom, you see. Now, all the good people of Chicago that have supported the police, I wonder how they would feel if their youngster had been clouted over the head.
Well, unless they're sadists, I don't think they would enjoy the sight or the thought of such a thing. And of course, remember, the term youngsters, as used so frequently on TV, it did not apply to the situation. The youngsters were all, for the most part, in their middle 20s, and some much older. They weren't exactly children that were out there in the park. However, I would agree with your general feeling or comment. No one could condone what was seen in terms of the violence witnessed on the part of either the demonstrators or on the part, in some instances, of exuberant police. On the other hand, we have policemen who, despite their training, despite their orders, found it very difficult to witness demonstrators pulling down the American flag from a pole in the park there and trying to run up what appeared to be a red flag. A few of them reacted against orders at that point and seized the chap who attempted to do this, and immediately thereafter the demonstrators began to attack the police, throw things at them. And little things like this, we teach our children Americanism in the school. We teach them to have respect for our flag, and their Pavlovian training all of a sudden comes out when they see a scene like this.
John, it's time for us to take a break on Night Call, and I'd like to remind our listeners to call our national number, area code 212-749-3311. And our local number here is 866-5010. John?
Yes?
I wonder if you could hang up your line here. You know, we've had a little bit of a snafu with our guest tonight, and I wonder if you could hang up your telephone and we'll call you back on our guest line, okay?
Russ, would you correct one thing for
the
record?
We're still on the air. Yes, John.
You did mention, or at least I thought I heard someone allude to the fact that I had said that 98% of the people supported the police position.
Yes.
That was not my statement.
Oh, I see. Was that...
Please correct the record.
Okay, we've got to correct it.
I wouldn't dare estimate what the opinion of the general public is that witnessed those scenes last night.
All right. Thank you, John.
I'll hang up now.
Okay, sir.
Thank you.
Stay tuned to the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Russ Gibb and guest Harris Wofford after station identification. Listen to the voices of Night Call.
We're trying to bring about change in this nation through nonviolent channels. Now, if we cannot do it through nonviolence, there are other forces that are going to lead people down a violent path, and the nation will be destroyed.
Ralph Abernathy on apathy and violence, and a white industrialist says jobs will save us from a racial inferno.
It's better to learn and earn than to burn, baby, burn. Now, these are the changes in attitude that spring from the community as a whole to try to work with these people, not just work on them, and to have industry reach into the area and try to recruit and hire the guy that's qualified and to get the other fellow to take training so he, too, can get a job.
Speak for yourself on Night Call. Speak for yourself. Collect on Night Call. Area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010 to Harris Wofford about the Chicago confrontation. Again, Russ Gibb.
Our scheduled guest for this evening, Mr. Wofford, obviously didn't make it yet, and probably there's some hang-up getting to the hotel. But we have on the line from Chicago Mr. John Kelleher, and he's the general counsel of the Chicago and Illinois chapters of the Fraternal Lodge of Police. And we've been talking to John about some of the demonstrations and some of the alleged brutality that took place last night in Chicago. And I'd like to remind you that you can call us here at Night Call on our national number collect by dialing area code 212-749-3311. Our local New York number is 866-5010. And John, I have a caller standing by in Fort Worth, Texas, a listener on KNOX, Miss Louise Roland. Your question, Louise.
Well, I would like to say I am listening at Night Call, and I really do enjoy, and I'm glad that we got it, got this Night Call, and I am just praying for you all and everybody, and I want everybody all to know that you all have my prayer.
Well,
and the subject of my prayer is if we all sell record, is out on a record, and it's playing in and everywhere. And that's all I have to say. I want to thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Louise.
Good night.
Good night. Young lady from Fort Worth, Texas. And John, while we're getting other calls in here, we were talking just before the break about the reaction that might set in with the average citizen as he witnesses this type of situation and how you might handle it. But what do you think will happen when these youngsters, and again, I know you don't like the word youngsters used in that sense because some of them were older than, you know, 15, 16 years old, but when these people grow up and take an active part in our society, don't you think that these incidents cause a disenchantment with police in general and that the epithet pig will become more popular among the young?
Russ, I would like to clear up a misconception of my organization. It's the Fraternal Order of Police. I think you've been calling it the Fraternal Lodge or something like that.
Yes.
It's the Fraternal Order of Police. And in answer to your question, I don't really know what to think. I happen to be over 30 myself, and how we communicate with this generation behind us, I'm not too sure. I do feel that they, more than our generation, question the values of our society, and I think they are to be complimented for so doing. What judgments they will make after confrontations, the likes of which were seen in Chicago last night, and which are being seen in the streets of urban America from one end of the country to the other, I don't know. I do feel that they will be big enough and broad enough to incorporate some sympathy for the police role into whatever judgments they may make about the system. And I think they will be charitable enough to, and intelligent enough to realize that the police did not create the system, and that they are often very unhappy about the role they must play in the system. For instance, almost a quarter of our police in Chicago are black policemen, and in civil rights disorders involving with racial overtones, it's very difficult for them to be in the positions of maintaining law and order in a society that they might suspect hasn't always kept justice in mind in formulating its policies. I hope our youngsters will be charitable and will be understanding of the role of the police as they view our generation.
John, I have a caller standing by in Statesboro, Georgia, Mr. Paul Franklin. Paul, your question, please.
My question is, do you believe that the charges of police brutality and the riots which have been happening in Chicago are true, or were they charges which were sort of trumped up by the press and radio and television against Mayor Daley and the city of Chicago?
John?
Yes.
You want to comment on that?
The charges have been made, not only in Chicago, but nationally by our network TV people. Certain policemen overreacted to the situation. I think certain TV commentators, network TV commentators, overreacted also. I think they were quick to charge brutality, but they didn't look at the whole picture. I'm sure that they did were shocked by the violence, as any sane American would be. But they didn't necessarily. Our police often complain that the provocation, the brick thrown, the rock thrown, is never pictured by the press, but they are quick and often attracted to the scene of the police capturing the assailant and then making a picture that would suggest that the police are using excessive force, or any kind of force sometimes in a photograph looks excessive. I think the charges are made. I think sometimes the charges in some few incidents that this will be true. There was police brutality. But by and large, I think the actions of the police were excellent. If you will consider what might have happened if this mob had crossed Michigan Avenue, had got into those large convention hotels and burned them and sacked them, as they were quite capable of doing, I don't think any of the critics could guarantee that the credentials of some of those demonstrators wouldn't include the possibility of violent actions over in the hotels. I think the police would have been criticized no matter what they did. If the demonstrators had sacked the hotels, set fires over there, they would have been criticized too. And then what would the critics have said? I don't. In these kind of cases, the police, who must maintain law and some semblance of order, are in a very lonely position. They're damned if they do, and they're damned if they don't.
Paul, thank you for calling Night Call.
Thank you.
I remind our listeners again that you can call us here collect at Night Call by dialing our national number, area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. And you can call us collect here at Night Call. Our local New York number is 866-5010. And, John, I have a caller standing by who's listening on WLIIB-FM, New York, Bill Gwinez. Bill, your comment, please.
Yes, I would just like to, I don't know the person's name.
It's John Kelleher.
Mr. Kelleher, yes, I'd like to say that I agreed with your earlier analysis of policemen in general, which was, if I'm not, misquoting, that policemen were, not, that some of them were picked, with no previous knowledge of their social backgrounds, concerning different, I don't know, race relations, say, for example. And I think that that's a very large problem, with the police now. And I think that's, where you get a lot of brutality and whatnot. I think that, Chicago was an example of this. And I don't know, it's hard to weed out the bad guys and, keeping the good guys. But I think that, on the whole, lots of policemen, would like the same pathology as a criminal. I mean, with the same motives of violence and, that's just my feeling. Policeman.
John, would you care to comment on Bill's?
Well, I certainly would agree with his agreement with me that it is sad that we aren't able to procure policemen who have greater training.
Why?
In social sensitivity. I think basically the problem is you can't even procure policemen with the salaries they pay policemen today. Industry is offering much more attractive salaries to policemen in general. The hours are good. The policeman spends two-thirds of his life working nights or the third shift. He is subject to great danger from July 1st to August 12th. I have these statistics fresh in my mind. 59 policemen were killed in civil disorders in the United States, to say nothing of the number that were wounded, seriously wounded. The job doesn't have very much attraction to a person with any other competence or skill today. Why should he be a policeman? Why should he take inferior pay? A plumber's helper right out of school today in America can make more money than a police sergeant or police lieutenant in some instances. So that I think we are getting what we're paying for. If we want sensitively trained police, we must provide for a salary that will attract men who have had proper schooling. Now, I would like to mention that the police administration field is doing much in this field, as much as they can with the budgets they have. They are giving special courses to the police in social relationship and community relations, in sensitivity training in some instances. And in many departments, those with larger budgets, they're demanding more and more college background of their police, particularly as they rise to the administrative side of the department. So I think there is hope, but I don't think America is sufficiently aroused to the problem of the necessity for having excellent policemen. With excellent training, because They are the bridge between society and the law of society. They are the ones most involved with the people. And if they aren't excellent spokesmen for our system, if they aren't excellent examples of our system, then our system is getting a black eye every time an ill-prepared, an ill-tempered, or an ill-acting policeman is out on the street.
Bill, thank you for calling Night Call.
Thank you.
I'd like to remind our West Coast listeners that they can call us at our Night Call West Coast number, and that's area code 212-799. I beg your pardon, that's 749-3357. Let me give you that number again. It's area code 212-749-3357. Our national Night Call number here is area code 212-749-3311. And our local New York number is 866-5010. Stay tuned to the Night Call Network.
Night Call with Russ Gibb and guest Harris Wofford after station identification. Next week on Night Call. The third annual National Conference on Black Power concludes in Philadelphia this coming weekend. On Monday night, Del Shields will answer your questions direct himself on what he saw and heard as the only unofficial observer allowed into the deliberations of the Black Power Conference. Tuesday, militant Julius Lester on Lookout Whitey, Black Power's Gonna Get Your Mama, the title of his new book. Wednesday, an ex-convict from the Fortune Society answers your questions on the problems of rehabilitating lawbreakers. Thursday, Federal Communications Commissioner Nicholas Johnson on racial equality and programming and hiring practices. And Friday, the head of New York City's Neighborhood Youth Corps on cooling it in the summertime. All next week on Night Call, the first and only nationwide call-in show. Speak for yourself. Collect on Night Call. Area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010 to Harris Wofford about the Chicago confrontation. Again, Russ Gibb.
Well, as it sometimes happens in the world of radio, guests don't make it to their telephone on time, and Mr. Wofford hasn't gotten to a phone and gotten in contact with us yet, so we've had to pinch hit with Mr. John Kelleher. And when I say pinch hit, we've got a good guy up there because he's the general counsel of the Chicago and the Illinois chapters of the Fraternal Order of Police. And Mr. Kelleher has been taking questions and comments from our callers. And I would remind you again that if you're on the Night Call West Coast listening, you can call us at 212-749-3357, and you may call us collect, or our national number is area code 212-749-3311. John, I have a caller standing by in Detroit, Michigan, a gentleman who's listening on WJLB, Mr. James Franklin. Mr. Franklin, your comment, sir.
Yes. I would like to comment on episodes which happened in Chicago, and also to comment on some of the statements which were made by Mr. Kelleher, is that his name?
Kelleher, yes, sir.
Yes. Well, in listening to the program and in viewing what happened on television, I myself think that what happened was a real indictment of this country. I mean, in so much as the role that this country advocates and the role which it really plays. I mean, if you can just picture that here just a week ago, less than a week ago, this country took to the United Nations the plight of the Czechoslovakians and appalled it and said it was horrible, it was terrible, it was disgraceful. Yet in all of what happened in Czechoslovakia, we assumed that this was the Russians' nature to do this. But by the same token, we look upon ourselves as being the advocates of peace, justice. We send thousands of boys to Vietnam to be killed. And yet, even before the convention started, they were mobilizing troops and policemen who getting their orders to do the things which they did. And it's a great hypocrisy. And to hear Mr. Kelleher stand by and justify in subtle terms the things which occurred, this is all a part and parcel of the same thing which has this country in the state it is today. That is, that people want to justify the cause rather than justify the cure. And the cure is justice. I mean, these things would never occur if people were treated justly. I mean, if the situation was such that people got the same justice under the law for whatever they did, be they white, black, whatever color. But, I mean, there's too many cases whereby this injustice comes from the top, and then it is promulgated by the policeman who has his racist attitude, and he takes these out because he knows that the people at the top would justify what he does. Now, I watched the convention tonight on television, and I watched Mayor Daley and a couple of other big wigs around there, and those who were direct cause, or I should say the ones who were in direct authority to have done something better for the situation, they took it lightly, very lightly, you know. And in too many cases, I mean, you hear about people justifying what the police do and this and that and giving excuses for them when there is no excuse. I mean, a guy goes to a steel mill, he works hard hours, he's subject to danger. Anybody that walks the street in any job is subject to some type of danger. And I don't think that it's any more right for a policeman to take upon himself to say, well, he's subject to more danger than anybody else, and that he should be given more laws than anybody else because of what he does. I mean,
James, let Mr. Kelleher address himself to some of your comments now.
Yeah.
Okay, John?
Well, there are so many issues that Mr. Franklin raised. I'll try and answer them as I remember them. I do not think that it is fair to compare the American Political Convention being held in Chicago with Czechoslovakia.
Why not?
If anything, to hear the debate that was on TV yesterday of the course of our nation in Vietnam, to see a 60-40 vote after a tremendously profound set of arguments given by both sides is an indication of a very viable, very dynamic, open society, the likes of which is not known behind the Iron Curtain in Czechoslovakia or any place else. I don't think it's fair to make such an analogy for one second. Now, with respect to justice and the police, I think it's unfair to ask the policemen in society to be justice in society. He's an instrument of what you as a citizen and what I as a citizen and what all Americans have created in our political system. If there is not justice in our society, don't blame it on the policeman. Blame it on yourself. Blame it on all our fellow Americans, because we have ignored the problems of our society if no justice exists for many of the members. With respect to the approach of the police in Chicago and the numbers of police and National Guard, I think you'd be interested in knowing that we don't have a lot of experience, thank God, in America with riots. Not
you
enough,
would need
certainly, to have
right.
any successful programs, but in the Kerner Report, the recommendations were to use manpower instead of firepower as much as possible. So not knowing what to expect in Chicago, after hearing the threats, after hard intelligence of assassination possibilities, after knowing that in states like California or Texas, political assassination were possible, the state of Illinois, the city of Chicago, decided that a stitch in time might save nine, and they did prepare. Maybe they over-prepared, but there have been no deaths so far, thank God, in Chicago, and they have followed the recommendations of the Kerner Report in using manpower instead of firepower. we've had no casualties so far.
Well, in relating to what I meant about justice is this. If that crowd had a beat up on policemen as they did, they would have been charged with some type of a criminal act. Now, I have been to New York, I've been to Chicago, and I reside here in Detroit at the present time. And from all my observations, policemen all over are the same. If it had been here in Detroit, it probably would happen the same way. And New York, it probably would happen the same way. They're the same all over because they feel they are above the law. During the riot here in Detroit, three people were killed. Not one police was indicted or convicted for murder. A little girl was killed. No policeman was cited for murder. There's too many instances where you say you don't see the whole picture. But when a policeman goes after a criminal for robbing a store, robbing a man, he doesn't look at the whole picture. He doesn't say, well, maybe the man is out of work, he's home, he doesn't have a job, he's destituted or something like that. He treats them as a criminal. When he goes before the judge, he treats him as a criminal. In the same respect, policemen, if they commit a crime, be they whoever they may, they should be treated the same way. Now, those policemen who beat those people the way they did, they, in turn, should have been brought to justice, just as well as any common citizen. Here recently in Detroit, a young boy, a 14-year-old boy, was killed by a policeman. They killed him on the assumption that he had shot somebody.
Now, that wasn't in Detroit. It was in Inkster.
Yeah, but I mean, well, okay, we say Inkster. Well, now, they killed him because they were mad because someone, another police officer had been shot, even though they didn't know if he really did it. Now, they exonerated the policeman, even though they knew which policeman killed him. But yet and still, they tried to indict another man who they just assumed was involved in the murder. Now, this to me is a double standard of justice, and everybody who speaks out so vehemently about law and order, they forget about law and justice. With law, you're going to get order. Hitler had that. They got that in Russia. And I don't see any difference between you. If youth in Czechoslovakia get up and holler that they want freedom of the press, they want this and that, and people here holler and they can't get it, tell me, what is the difference? Then you say little kids growing up should have respect for a policeman or for anyone when they see so much hypocrisy. How can you go 1,000 miles and kill a Vietnamese and say, well, we're fighting for freedom? The same Vietnamese that you killed over there, they have mothers, daughters, and sisters who cry over them, just like the Americans have mothers who cry over them. And until the United States gets to a place where they can say, look, we will give all of our citizens the same equality that we expect other people to give their country, then you would get law and order, because I don't think no one wants anyone coming into their house stealing from them or robbing them. But when you get to the place where the policeman treats the innocent the same as he do the guilty, and particularly if he's black, then this is what you get. And then you have the white kids who grow up and see this hypocrisy, and then they become disillusioned by the whole system and listen to Mr. Kelleher's, and I've heard so many paternalistic people, you understand, get up and try to justify the police as if they were some type of holder of the peace, when in reality, you understand, there have been so many unjustified crimes committed by police, but they never come to trial. And
John?
Justice?
Yes?
You want to comment on
that? Well, I'm afraid I can't meet such an attack. It's too general, and it's not true, of course. I recognize the deep feeling in Mr. Franklin for the injustice that he sees in society. I do not think it's fair for him to make such general observation that all police are this and all police are that. I think that's ridiculous.
No, I'm not saying this. But what I'm saying is this, Mr. Keller, is that the people, the society in general, seems to assume that if a crime is committed by a policeman, that he has a certain amount of right, or he has a certain amount of different standard coming to him than, say, for a common citizen.
As a matter of fact, I think if you talk to any lawyer, whoever has to defend a policeman in the courts, he will say to you from his experience that a policeman has a hard time in the courts. He is practically convicted before the case ends. We had a case today in Chicago where a policeman was convicted of the murder of a young 19-year-old man in a disturbance. This incident took place June 4th. He's convicted today. There was no double standard of justice, if anything. He had a very quick trial and justice which dispatched. I don't agree with you. It, it could very well be that in your experience you've seen instances of a double standard. I will not deny that that hasn't existed in some parts of America. On the other hand, if you heard my opening remarks, I think that the justice that you speak for is justice that is sought by all Americans of goodwill, whether they're police or civilians. And remember, the police come from all the people.
Right.
They don't come from any one class. The 25% of black policemen in the city of Chicago don't come from some fancy middle-class area of the Chicagoland. They come from the people, and they certainly can't be called racist because they are a part of the people.
And gentlemen,
I think you may be overgeneralizing your statements there, Mr. Frank.
James.
Well, I'll cut it off now, but thanks very much.
Thank you for calling Night Call, James.
And thanks, both of you.
Well, it's that time again for a break on the Night Call Network, and I'd like to remind our West Coast listeners to call us at area code 212 and dial 749-3357. Our national Night Call number is 212-749-3311, and you may dial us collect. Our local number here in New York is 866-5010. Stay tuned to the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Russ Gibb and guest Harris Wofford after station identification. Tomorrow night on Night Call, Leroy Jones on the Black Power Conference. This black militant playwright turned political activist is attending the third annual National Conference on Black Power in Philadelphia and gives us his report tomorrow night on the sessions of the first 2 days. Where is the Black Power movement going? Will the Black Panthers combine with the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee and the split Brooklyn and Bronx chapters of CORE to form a new, much more militant Black Power action group? There's a pretty tight news blackout on the Black Power Conference. But Night Call is privileged to cover, and our own reporter will add his information to what Leroy Jones has to offer. That's the Black Power Conference with Leroy Jones tomorrow night on Night Call. Speak for yourself. Collect on Night Call. Area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010 to Harris Wofford about the Chicago confrontation. Again, Russ Gibb.
Well, as you have gathered by now, a Night Call that Mr. Wofford, our scheduled guest, didn't appear. And we have in his stead Mr. John Kelleher, who is the General Consul of the Chicago and the Illinois chapters of the Fraternal Order of Police. And Mr. Kelleher has been addressing himself to the police brutality charges stemming out of yesterday's demonstrations in Chicago, and also about the role of the policeman in American society. Now, you may call us here at Night Call on our national number collect by dialing 212-749-3311. Our local New York number is 866-5010, and our West Coast number is area code 212-749-3357. John, I have standing by in Cannon Falls, Minnesota, a listener on WPBC, Mr. Bob Richardson. Bob, your comment, please.
Yes, Mr. Gibbs. I'd like to tell Mr. Kelleher, I thank you on behalf of the people of this country that we can openly discuss with somebody who's willing to put themselves on the line something as important and maybe as easily to get the wrong picture of something as important as what happened last night. I'd like to see for Mayor Daley and his police force that I think their actions were commendable. Maybe some people thought they were too stringent, as our last listener or a couple of listeners ago, but it seems to me that after having spent a considerable time in the military, that I have what I think, maybe a majority of us do, we have a feeling for the traditions and the greatness of this country and the people that made it this way. And this tradition, it can be torn down in a matter of a couple of generations if we let people like these hippies or any other poor, or not necessarily poor, but people who think they're poor and think that they have a right to have somebody else give them a living, all these people that are on relief, all these people that are participating in these giveaway programs, and people who don't get out and make of themselves what they could if they would take the opportunities that are presented. And these people that allow anarchy to reign in our streets, as some of our listeners probably would have it, if they would put reins on the Chicago Police Department or any other police department in this United States, I think they would let this tradition and the great respect that we have for our family and our God and our flag, I think we would be losing something in this nation. And then, as Mr. Keller has said, he didn't know how to contact our generation. Well, what would we have to pass on to this generation if we let this anarchy reign and run wild in the streets?
So, Bob,
yes.
Do you have a question for John?
Oh, yes. I'd like to ask him if he thinks that the press itself is irresponsible. I would like to make a very blank statement, and that I think that most of their reporting is somewhat irresponsible, and that they very much color what happens and seem to blow it up to a point that it's almost out of proportion, and so many people get the wrong aspect of what is really truly happening on instances like this, or when Martin Luther King was killed, or even when Senator Kennedy was killed.
John?
I appreciate your commendatory comments, Mr. Richardson, but I don't really have any general indictment of the press. I think the press, the media, people that cover the media and news gathering services do a good job, and thank God for them. It keeps our society open. It protects us against decisions made behind closed doors. It's a great credit to our society that we have the press, we have radio, we have TV. I certainly can't indict them at all. I do feel that in the particular coverage given to the demonstrations in Chicago, not so much the actual scenes that were televised nationally, but the gratuitous comments that were made by Mr. Huntley, Mr. Brinkley, Mr. Cronkite, were unfair, unbalanced, that they did not show the whole picture, they did not come to grips with the roots of violence, and they offered no solution for the potential anarchy represented by demonstrators who feel they are above the law, who do not want to demonstrate in a peaceful way, who believe that they, when told they cannot march down Michigan Avenue to the amphitheater, believe they are above the law and that they can and will so march. This is a serious problem, and these commentators never met that problem of potential anarchy. But by and large, I think the press, radio, and TV do a wonderful job, and they're a great part of our dynamic American society.
Bob, thank you for calling Night Call.
No, thank you.
I think we have time for one quick call, and we have standing by in Mansfield, Ohio, Robin Hendricks. And Robin is listening on WFAH-FM in Alliance. Robin, your question, please.
Yes, I have two questions.
Well, we're only going to have time for one, Robin.
Okay, I wonder how your guest could justify the hitting in the mouth of one of Senator McGovern's aides. It was a girl, and she went out to the drugstore to get something for Senator McGovern, and she was hit in the mouth with a nightstick, and also the pushing around of the press. Are they swinging the nightstick so wildly that they don't recognize a man in a suit or a girl in a dress?
Well, I don't mean to be facetious, but some of the people that are in the park, it's pretty hard to tell what sex they possess. But I'm sure that no.
But this is a girl in a dress with a short haircut. I mean, it's not hard to tell. I have seen a picture of her, and
Well, no, I'm not talking about this specific instance. In your specific instance, I can't imagine any policeman that would ever hit a girl in the mouth with a billy. I think it must have been that she came upon a scene of violence or a scuffle of some kind, and I'm sure it was accidental. Of course, I do not know what the facts
were. Well, what about the press? The men in the press wearing suits, that is a little hard to... I mean, if you see a man in a suit, you don't think he is a demonstrator, usually.
Oh, I don't think that's true, Mr. Hendricks. There were men wearing suits. Members of the clergy were wearing suits. Among the demonstrators in the park, and I might add that many members of the working press were dressed in a fashion that it was often hard to tell them from the demonstrators. Yes. Some had white bands on their arms, and some did not.
Then you suggest it's all right to hit the clergy if they're in a peace demonstration?
I didn't suggest that, no.
And I was wondering, how many peace demonstrations have turned out into anarchy, as you call it?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the last...
How many peace demonstrations have turned out into, as you call it, anarchy?
I don't know. I've never kept track of them.
I don't think there are very many.
Ended that way,
Robin?
Yeah.
I'm sorry we're going to have to close you down right now, okay. But it's that time. Thank you for calling Night Call, Robin.
Thank you.
Well, we've come to that point in our show when we cannot take any more calls. And while John Kelleher is collecting his thoughts for a closing comment, let me say we know that many of you try to reach us here at Night Call and get a busy signal. We're sorry about that. But how about writing us with any questions or comments you may have for me or our guests? I can't promise all of you an answer, but I can promise that your letter will be considered. Address your mail to Night Call, Pomona, New York, zip code 10970. That's Night Call, Pomona, New York, zip code 10970. John, we have about 3 minutes. What else do you feel must be said? Actually, we have 1 minute left, John. I'm sorry.
Well, all I could say, I don't think it would be fair to blame the police for enforcing the laws which society has enacted for the protection of the common weal. I don't think it's fair to blame the police for being what they are, for being selected with the training and with the capacities they had by our municipalities. I think they are what society wants them to be. And I think that we should understand the difficult role that the police have, but at the same time, address ourselves to the underlying basic problems that create the injustices and create the problems which give rise to demonstrations in our society.
John Gallagher, I want to thank you very much for being our pinch hit guest here on Night Call. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Russ. It was a pleasure to be part of your program.
Night Call, the first and only nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tomorrow night, same time, same station, a report on the third annual National Conference on Black Power with militant Leroy Jones. Listen tomorrow night. Discuss freely and responsibly your own personal opinions. Speak for yourself on Night Call. Produced by the United Methodist Church, presented with National Council of Churches, National Catholic Office for Radio and Television, American Jewish Committee, and Urban Coalition.